जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन बल्लभा गिरिवर धारी गोपी जन बल्लभा गिरिवर धारी यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन जमुना तीरा बनचारी जमुना तीरा बनचारी दया राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शतशी श्रीमद हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी शिल प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की ग्रंथराशि मम भागवतां की निताई गौर प्रेमानंदे ओ ग्लोरी टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज ओ ग्लोरी टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज ओ ग्लोरी टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज ओ ग्लोरी टू श्री गुरु वंशी गौरंग ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 10 The Summon Bonum, Chapter 11, The Childhood Pastimes of Krishna, Text 12 and 13. Sarittiragatam Krishnam Bhaknarjuman Athavyatat Bhaknarjunan atha bhajat Ramancha Rohini Devi Kridantam Balakair Vishnam Sarittiragatam Krishnam Bhaknarjunan athavajat Ramancha Rohini Devi Kridantam Balakair Brisham Sarittiragatam Krishnam Bhaknarjunan atavajat Ramancha Rohini Devi Kridantam Balakair Brisham Chan Sarithira to the riverside. Gatam, who had gone. Krishnam, unto Krishna. Bhakna Arjunam, after the pastime of breaking the Jamala Arjuna trees. Atha, then, Avajat, called Ramancha, as well as Balaram, Rohini, the mother of Balaram, Devi, the goddess of fortune, Kridantam, who were engaged in playing, Balakahi, with many other boys, Brisham, with deep attention. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Once after the uprooting of the Jamala Arjuna trees, Rohini Devi went to call Rama and Krishna, who had both gone to the riverside and were playing with the other boys with deep attention. Purport. Mother Yashoda was more attached to Krishna and Balaram than Rohini Devi was. Although Rohini Devi was the mother of Balaram, Mother Yashoda sent Rohini Devi to call Rama and Krishna from their play. Since it was the right time for lunch, therefore Rohini Devi went to call them, breaking their engagement in play. Text number 13. Nopeyatam yada hatau krida shange na putrakau yashoda preyasham ish asha yashodam presayam asha rohini putrabatsalam. Translation. Because of being too attached to playing with the older boys, Krishna and Balaram did not return upon being called by Rohini. Therefore, Rohini sent Mother Yashoda to call them back, because Mother Yashoda was more affectionate to Krishna and Balaram. Purport. Yashodam presayam asha. These very words show that since Krishna and Balaram did not care to return in response to the order of Rohini, Rohini thought that if Yashoda called, they would have to return, for Yashoda was more affectionate to Krishna and Balaram. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaja Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Buddhale Srimate Rupa Swami Iti Namine. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Buddhale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Iti Namine. Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatyade Satarine. Vancha Kalpataruvyasha Kripa Sindhu Vyeva Cha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha. One thing that is very instructive and a very important principle is how do we relate to other Vaishnavas or devotees who have more experience or that are more advanced, than we are in terms of Krishna consciousness and in terms of some other things, you know, even from the material perspective. What we call Vaishnava achar or Vaishnava etiquette. The principles of etiquette are extremely important, and especially in the Sangha or the community of devotees. It becomes very relevant because being brought up in this uncivilized culture that we are growing in, with absolutely no training in any type of spiritual etiquette, actually material etiquette, it's very, 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 it's not very refined. So what to speak of a spiritual etiquette? As the time passed, these principles of respect becomes more and more and more deteriorated. At least, you know, for the devotees who are present here, we are of a generation that is still with some education and some respect to superiors and elders. Of course, we grew up in the 60s and the 70s as children who were being educated, and we started to be more or less trained or exposed to a culture that basically had no confidence, respect or trust in any of what the elders have to say, or those who were more experienced in life have to say. We grew up the 60s and the 70s was a period of time in which that generation was growing in times in which leaders show that the people cannot trust them. The choices that they made were naturally very much exposed that they were they didn't have the welfare of the people in general in the front. So therefore there was this sense of distrust, and that sort of, you know, permeated the consciousness of the time. And so, you know, the deterioration of this respect towards authorities started to go deeper and deeper and deeper. In the generation of our parents, there was a much more acceptance of authority and hierarchies and sort of some reverence towards elders. In my generation, that went down the drain. And the next generations, the one after our generations, is like right now is very difficult. There is a sense right now of this independence and this sort of idea that we know better. And especially now is exacerbated because of the technology that allows a lot of information to be at the tips of people. Just by a simple Google search, you can find, you know, any particular information that you want to understand. So the new generations, they have a much lesser reliance on the experience of elders. And this is the sense of, you know, that we know better. And so that's the culture in which, you know, we're growing and we're exposed in these modern times. That there is no trust and there is no reliance or respect towards the experience that elders or people that are more advanced brings into, you know, into our lives. So with that, when we come to Krishna consciousness, we have to learn a culture in which a pure, perfect system in which there is a structure, and there is a very refined way of relating with each other, with Krishna, who is the supreme authority in the center. So it is a culture that helps us cultivate these qualities that allow us to be open and accept the supreme authority of Krishna. So it's a culture that is based on respect, that is based on humility, and that is based on service. So in this case, we see that Mother Rohini, she immediately understands, although they're in the same position, Mother Yasoda and Mother Rohini are what we can call peers. They're both queens or the wives of brothers, although in one sense, Rohini materially was in a higher position than Mother Yashoda, because although Vasudev and Nanda Maharaj were brothers, but they were brothers from different mothers. The mother of Vasudev was a Kshatriya lady, and therefore Vasudev was of the Kshatriya caste. And Nanda Maharaj was the son of a Vaishya lady, and therefore he was of the Vaishya caste. So from that perspective, Rohini was in a superior position in terms of varnas. Both were mothers. Balaram was a little elder, was like a year elder than Krishna. And so in one sense they were pretty much on the same level, but from certain perspectives, even Rohini was possibly to be considered superior materially. And however, she could understand the qualifications of Yashoda in terms of Krishna consciousness was much higher. And understanding that, she have no problem in accepting the superiority and the authority. So she looked up to Mother Yashoda. And she was able to understand. So Krishna and Balaram will respond or will be more attractive. They can actually, they will be immediately responding to the call of Mother Yashoda because of Mother Yashoda's elevated position in terms of Krishna consciousness. Much more elevated than her. Although Rohini Devi is the mother of Lord Balaram, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so she is most elevated. But the example is there that among these great, great personalities, there is a sense of respect towards those who they see and they understand that they have a much higher connection with the Personality of Godhead. So the difference was there. There's other examples that are given in the scriptures. There's one example of Vidura wanted to be desiring to be a disciple of Uddhava. And although Vidura was much more older than Uddhava, in fact, Vidura was a contemporary of Uddhava's father. Vidura approached Uddhava to be his disciple. But Uddhava, considering the position of Vidura in terms of being like his father, and also considering that present before him was also a very elevated personality that he considered also in the same level of himself, although it is understood that Uddhava was in a higher position, but this was his feeling. He thought, he recommended Vidura, you go and take shelter of Maitreya Muni. Maitreya Muni and Uddhava both were instructed by Krishna. Both received the same instructions. When Krishna was reciting the Uddhava Gita, Maitreya was present. Because Maitreya was older and he was present there, then Uddhava directed Vidura to take shelter of Maitreya Muni. So for us Vaishnavas, we have to be learning, or at least aspiring Vaishnavas, better say, we have to learn this culture, this etiquette. And it's not a simple thing, because we're so habituated to be to question authority. We're so habituated to actually disregard authority. Even unconsciously we do it. I mean, at least I'm talking in general. So it's important to start to learn the signs of relating within Vaishnava's communities. Principles that are there that I remember, I didn't prepare very much actually. Somehow or other, I didn't have the time because I have to run for doing the altar seva. But in the manual, when we get trained in Vaishnava etiquette, usually in the Bhakta programs, we do teach this Vaishnava etiquette. and how to relate with superiors, then there's different principles in terms of superiors. One is advancement in Krishna consciousness. So even if someone is much younger than us, but is much more advanced, then we can actually treat this person as a superior. So advancement in Krishna consciousness, age of course, is also a sign that we see as a superior in terms of age, in terms of experience, in terms of initiation. Someone who takes initiation earlier than us, you know, then we show that type of respect and deference. Positions within the community. So if you have someone that have leadership positions, then you have that type of respect. So it is a very important thing to cultivate and to pay attention to. Something that we can take from these two verses, and in terms of Mother Rohini deferring to Mother Yashoda to serve Krishna. We can also constantly be thinking and practicing this type of behavior also as we perform a devotional service and we're dealing with, you know, the devotee community and those who are more experienced, how we relate to. And for, in terms of ourselves too, we can also cultivate the quality of humility, because we don't necessarily need to see, oh yes, you got it, I am superior, so you must respect. There's that say that one cannot demand respect, one have to earn that respect by one's behavior. So if we want to take some responsibility, we have to show this type of culture of respect towards everybody. So everybody sees it. It's a very beautiful and powerful quality that allows a community to be in Krishna consciousness, this culture of respect. And that means, you know, that sometimes we have to take this position of being a superior, and when we do it with the humility of that I am performing this act, or this I'm acting in this position of being a superior as a service to my superior. So it's really we always see, you know, in dependence or and deference to our superior. So it's a culture like that. It's a culture of hierarchy, and the ultimate, the greatest authority and our supreme superior, is that right to say that, is Krishna. So Guru and Krishna. I stopped here. I didn't prepare very much. I just randomly just spoke about this. That's the first thing that got me. So any comments or questions?
Thank you so much. Yes, indeed, we are the generation that subverted
the establishment, the status quo in terms of respect to the status quo and to the elders. However, we were exposed and we understand that image of authority. The generations before, between generations, the generations gap were longer, were 10 years, 15 years between one generation to another one. Nowadays, generation gaps are from 1 year to another one. These new generations have no sense of authority. They didn't subvert anything. They just were born from parents like we are, raising them with no authority. So bringing these people into understanding the sense of authority or follow certain rules and certain etiquettes seems like much more difficult. Kids nowadays, if they want to take a shower once a week, it's fine for many parents, or scream whatever or whatever, you know. It's so difficult. So try to get them into certain patterns of behavior or understanding principles of how to follow certain things in order for them to advance in many ways, spiritually and ethically and morally, seems more difficult. This is, I see it as a parent, I see it as an uncle, as a friend of other parents that have same difficulties as I did in a moment.
Yeah. Well, it's not their fault of their the new generations of people. The times are deteriorating. The fine qualities are, you know, in deterioration. So people are growing in this sort of society that is becoming more and more hedonistic. Is that
hedonistic? You know, yeah.
That is more self-absorbed, and so it's not their fault. It's the times now. How to help that is, we also, in one sense, we created, our generations created that what is right now, the circumstance. One of the things that contributes to the new generations to be, to have no trust in the older generations in terms of guidance and authority is because of the hypocrisy that is there. There is no consistency in terms of the message, you know. So you profess to be a religious person that embraces the commands of, you know, the Bible, love thy neighbor, but you also tolerate and accept and even engage in discrimination and bigotry and that type of thing. So so that type of hypocrisy is just too blaring. So who's going to trust? You know that you have a sense that politicians have no, or leaders of society, they don't have our interests. You know, young people, new generations have that sense. Teachers, doctors, people, you know, I mean, everybody is for basically fencing for themselves. That's how you say fence, you know. So is something that we created, something that we still engage in, is a sense of, you know, inconsistency in our values. And moving towards this self-absorption. And so how can we help? Well, we have to show an example. We have to show an example of consistency, of being trustworthy. And the generations of hippies that joined Srila Prabhupada is because they saw that. They saw a genuine, pure, consistent person. That what he preached was what he, you know, practiced, he lived. So, you know, we preach, we tried our best, but we're not very consistent. You know, we don't necessarily match our ideals in many, many, in many levels. So we have to come to that position. It's each one of us. So both as, and as parents, it becomes also very apparent, you know. So we have to inculcate on the kids the sense of respect and authority. But we have to show that ourselves. You know, we cannot be inconsistent. We have to show that we accept authority, we follow authority, we respect. So it's a big responsibility, and that's why we have to embrace the culture and be representatives of the culture, the Vaishnava etiquette, Vaishnava culture. So otherwise, you know, Jitendra Prabhu.
Yeah, we have to be transparent, right?
We have to be transparent, yeah.
There's a saying, we were the unfortunate, led by the unqualified, to do the unnecessary for the ungrateful. So that kind of rang a bell. And then one famous folk singer says, "It's I have nobody or nothing to look up to. You know, I'm lost to myself." But I was reading the Chaitanya Shikshamrita, and Bhaktivinoda said that the European, it flourished, and then the British thing flourished, but then they dwindled and they went away, you know. But the glory of India, they still have reverence for their heroes, like, you know, Ram, Krishna, you know. So that's in ingrained in their, you know, psyche. Mm. So that's to their advantage, you know. But those things just came to mind. You know, it was like, we were the unfortunate, led by the unqualified, to do the unnecessary for the ungrateful. That kind of stuck in my mind.
It's a great one. There is a... For in Indian culture, there are still traces of that. So it's because it's a observation that I have, you know, been serving along with Indian devotees, you know, for so many years, and being part of communities that are mostly of Indian descent. One of the things that you observe is that very much part of their culture is that they accept authority. They respect, you know, they have a much greater sense of elders and authority like that. So it's easier. I mean, the new generations are deteriorating too. We see that. And sometimes the parents are encouraging that type of deterioration. However, ingrained in their culture is that respect. We Westerners were pathetic in that area. You know, this side of the world, we have no, we tend to question, you know, okay, who are you and why are you doing, okay, but you know, we're not necessarily too open to authority. It's more difficult. So for Western devotees, it's a little more of an uphill to actually take that culture, but we all have to take it. Jai Baladev Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. You were mentioning one point I really appreciated is in order for people to trust us, we have to, you know, we may, you know, do well and stuff, but we're not consistent enough, which I appreciate. And one point I brought up yesterday, and I'll expand on it. One reason, I mean, I glorify many devotees, but depending on who, you know, I think of at the time, but one thing I appreciate about my brother, His Grace Jagannath Prabhu, and the reason why he was so popular with the, you know, with everyone and people trusted him is because he was always consistent. One thing I mentioned yesterday is that, which I couldn't understand why, is that when he gave Bhagavatam class or any class, he was always enthusiastic. And one thing I couldn't understand at him, and he got on my nerve too. My brother actually got on my nerve. This is how, when he was sitting in Bhagavatam, he would be just as enthusiastic in extending the class. I'm like, why are you extending the class?
Why are you what?
Huh? Why are you prolonging the class?
Oh, okay.
It's not, for me, the Bhagavatam was never interesting to me. So I was, you know, I like my brother's class, but when he was sitting, so he showed the same amount of respect listening to class as he, the enthusiasm I see when he was giving class. And that's one reason he was very consistent from both sides. Usually when we give class, boom, enthusiastic. When we have to hear somebody. And another reason why he was appreciated by my brother was consistent because I'm his brother, first of all. And you would think he would tell me, you know, all the latest gossip. Or some like sometimes devotees in confidence explain some of their embarrassing problems, or not necessarily embarrassing, just things they don't want everyone to know. And so many devotees have come up to me later and told me my brother such and such kept, you know, not secret, but just kept, you know, whatever they wanted in confidence. And sometimes I even probe my brother. So what did they say? You know, he wouldn't tell me. And this is the first instruction of Rupa Goswami in the Netha of Instruction, how to control, be consistent at Vacho Vega Manasa Krodha, controlling your mind and tongue. And one thing in regards to controlling, one analogy I share with devotees, and one analogy I really love, last point, is that when criminals escape from prison, they'll cause havoc for all of human society. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, he says we all have criminals in our heart called Anartas. And when Krishna killed the demons in Vrindavan, these demons are compared to the Anartas in our heart. So just as criminals escape from prison, they cause, like I said, havoc for human society. So when our Anartas escape through our words and our actions, they cause havoc for ourselves and potentially for others, depending on their consciousness. And how does one keep, we see in the government, they subdue criminals by hiring security guards. And so Prabhupada says we should cultivate these security guards of good qualities. Yasyasti bhaktir bhagavati akinchana sarva gunais tatra samasate suraha. And this verse is from 5th canto, chapter 18, verse 12. And in Prabhupada's purport, he mentions the 26 qualities of the devotees. One security guard is humility. Another one is forgiveness, etc. And that way we can control our tongue. And we see that, why is Haridasa Thakur always chanting the holy names of God? Or why is Shukadeva Goswami always speaking the names of God? For maximum security. Just like there's two types of prisons, minimum security and maximum security. As soon as we stop speaking the glories of God or chanting the holy names, then the criminals, the anarchists come out. And that's why in the Gita, Krishna says, Satitam kirta yanta mam, yatantascha drida brataha, namasyantascha mam bata nita yuta upasate. The great devotees are always chanting my glories, always worship me. Why? For maximum security. Because as soon as you stop, you can't control your tongue. The innards come out. And that's why I like one last verse from the Bible. It says from the book of James, chapter 3, all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My dear brothers and sisters, this should not be. So anyway, thank you for mentioning one of the most important points in my Christian contribution, to be consistent. And that's one aspect I really appreciate about my brother that I couldn't appreciate before, because I didn't have any narratives, but I realized after I got initiated, I had to be more serious about being consistent about my Christian consciousness. And I'm glad I had devotees like my brother, Jitendra, and all the devotees, you know, we all have in our narratives, but especially, you know, the ones you're closely associated with, when you see their consistency, it becomes very inspiring. So anyway, thank you.
Thank you. Anything else? Sharjan.
Since you were looking at spiritual culture and that there's a kind of learning or a new learning that has to happen when one enters such a culture, and particularly if one's coming from a culture in which the qualities that are prominent or necessary in spiritual culture aren't there, and you enumerated them, such as having respect, humility. So if, you know, persons have entered spiritual culture and, you know, that there's emphasis on those qualities, many persons may not truly know how those qualities look or how they should be displayed. So perhaps you could say something about how somebody entering spiritual culture would be displaying respect or would be displaying humility. And then on the other hand, also, how would a newer person recognize the person who is in a position that's superior to them? Because generally persons may understand age, but they may not be able to see any differences between the devotees. So, two questions, I suppose.
Yeah, I think it really depends, you know, on persons to person, how much they can adjust and take. In general, if you're very proud, it's just very difficult. So we tend to have to understand all these qualities from the perspective of ourselves. So we already bring a conception of what humility is and what respect is. And humility is not a very necessarily, easy, appealing type of concept. And then you go into this thing of being humble that is just, you know, like, it becomes, you know, a very fake type of approach. It's a little bit like, you know, please stop. Sometimes devotees goes into this, you know, oh, you know, you are the most and this and your lotus feet, and say, please, you know, one thinking to oneself, you know, please stop. So it's this idea of being humble that is not going very deep. And in terms of respect, we have also this conception of respect, that I can respect someone, but you have to respect me. You know, it's about, I'm expecting that you respect me. And if you cannot respect me, whatever conception I have of what respect I deserve, then I can respect you. So it's a conceptions that we bring that have to do with our false ego that becomes a big obstacle. So purification is the only thing that can break that thing out. And that comes through prasadam and kirtan, you know, and devotional service. When we get engaged, you know, devotees are expert, which is wonderful. And one of the beautiful things of Krishna consciousness, devotees sort of are given the intelligence by Krishna to engage people. And people get engaged. And even, you know, new devotees or simple devotees like most of us, somehow or other Krishna help, because of the sincerity that is there, some intelligence to get people involved and engaged in devotional service. And somehow or other they get involved in devotional service. That's a very huge purification that happens there. If somehow or other they like and they become positive towards the Harinam, or they take a book, all the things, all that breaks through that false ego's block, and they start to allow people to develop this faith, this Shraddha. And then, you know, they can, you go deeper and deeper. That's how we all experience, you know. And then the conceptions start to change a little. You start to get open, oh. And then Krishna start to purify you, help you, show you. Actually, this humility of mine is very fake. You know, you start to say, you start to question, you start to observe. So that's how it works. It's a gradual thing, and it becomes more difficult, but not impossible, according to our level of our false ego. If it's too ingrained and we're too proud, then it becomes more difficult. But those conceptions, that's the point that I sort of took from these verses, that we have to embrace the culture, we have to learn it, we have to come from the position that this is a different culture, very, very different than mine. So basically I have to put, to fill a cup, you have to empty it first. You know, you have to, in other words, we have to empty our cup and then fill it up with this new culture. There is no, you can, it doesn't mix. If you mix, you know, our culture with this Western culture with the Vaishnava culture, meaning not the activities but the consciousness, this self-centered, self-absorbed, sense gratification culture doesn't go well together with the culture of bhakti. So if we at least come to that understanding, that you have to see, you know, okay, I have to relearn and fill myself with this culture, the bhakti culture. So that's what we're trying. We're trying to learn to live according to the bhakti culture. Yes, Jitendra Prabhu.
One comedian had a saying, he sized up the baby boomers. He said that they have a very simple philosophy. Give me it, it's mine.
Unfortunately, the culture has become a culture instead of many cultures. In the socialist economy, there's a statement in which says that the economical dependence brings cultural dependence. There's a country that is leading the world and trying to impose their culture, which is no culture. And one of the things that has affected the most is the family culture, the family rituals. And it's projected in every way, shape, or form, culturally speaking, in the music, in the literature, in the, all the manifestations of culture, of art, of things, family disappears. So the influence of the new generations within the families has no impact in the new generations and kids that are coming. And there's this standardization is coming, the Western culture. Not every culture responds in the same way, not in France or in England or in the United States or in Spain. Kids tend to be the same. But communications nowadays, technology is standardizing those ills in the and illnesses in creating a new culture, which is really difficult to have these kids that have no sense of authority or truly like a guidance on what is going on within themselves. We can work trying to convince them that there's some principles, there are some values, there are some things that are absolutely fundamental in their upbringing.
Well, people are open right now. That's something that you see, you start to see too, that things are going so, there's so much hypocrisy in the world, and then people that are intelligent, they're starting to question and look for alternative. There is also the principle that for the last several decades, Srila Prabhupada's movement is having, is making a change. We may not fully understand it, but if you start to look from the time Prabhupada began the Krishna conscious movement in the world, in the Western world, you know, in 1965, 1966, to now, there's a huge impact. The millions of books, the holy name that is being chanted, you know, consistently throughout, you know, years and years, days and days, decades and decades. The prasadam that has been distributed, the festivals, all these things started to create an environment in which people are looking. They're getting exposed, and they're looking for alternative. So that's there. Again, like I said before, the burden is on us to show the example, to create to be representative of this alternative, and we have to embrace it ourselves. We have to be like Jai Baladev was saying, or Jai Jagannath, consistent. So people are open, they're getting to be open with that, and we have to Now is the time. So we have to be up to the task. We can be in the status quo and think, you know, otherwise.
No, there's a certain similarity at the time that Srila Prabhupada brought this culture to the West. There's a similarity in the despair of the new generations that have no guidance and some kind of anxiety, because what this Western culture is presenting do not meet their needs at all.
Yeah, there's also not the younger generations, it's all people. The thing is that people need to see a consistent example. We sometimes, you know, as a society, we're still showing, you know, some discrepancies. I mean, we have the pure thing. If we're able to show this type of consistency, Srila Prabhupada will have said, as I remember coming across with that Krishna will give us the whole world in 18 days. Right? Jitendra, you remember that? Yeah. Krishna will give us the whole world in 18 days. The whole world being led by Krishna consciousness. If we're ready. But, you know, the reason we're still sort of struggling to reach people, to touch people's hearts, because we're not ready yet. So we have to make ready, and that's individually and collectively. So we have it, we have what is needed. And it's going to happen at one point. We're within this 10,000 year window that Lord Chaitanya has given to this Kali Yuga. We're just beginning. So it's going to happen with us or without us. It's going to happen. So it's our choice.
Hopefully it's not going to be in Brahma's time.
No, it's now. It's now. The thing is that, you know, we may not see it in this lifetime ourselves, but it's now. We stop here. Thank you. Karantarashimam Bhagavatam Ki Jai.